That's pretty good.
How are we doing, everybody? This is Jeff Hoke here with Jamie Gatlin and Chris Henrique here for another episode of Shorthanded Takes, a Boston Bruins podcast brought to you by Beyond the Monster. We are live for yet another week, and the Bruins are 5-0 going into that. Before that kicks off, though, yes, I am inside my kitchen this time because I just had spent 5 hours at a car dealership and wasn't able to make dinner before this, so I'm currently making dinner and also doing a podcast at the same time. So
what are you making?
I'm making shells and pasta shells is what I'm making, actually.
Now, are they stuffed, though? Like, is there
no, I didn't see it's 7 o'clock. I had more ideas today for what I wanted to do for dinner, but then it hit like 6:30 and I was still at the dealership, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna go basic ass tonight, and this is what I'm doing.
Are these homemade shells, or, you know, where are the shells?
No, they're medium shells from the store.
Will there be a meat with these shells, or
yes,
is it just
there is meat sauce with these shells. There's always meat sauce and shells.
Is you know the meat sauce fan? Homemade?
No. Oh, yeah. No, sadly.
I'm a big fan of stuffed shells, though.
Man, stuffed shells, dude, they're always clutch. It's like a mini lasagna, but, like, better.
Now, see, I like lasagna. I would eat lasagna every day. Well, I would be 650, but I would eat that a lot if I could.
No, you could work through it. You could maybe like eat it, work out, kind of, you know, stagger it a little bit in between.
Love lasagna. Nice.
Yeah, now I want to make a lasagna, but too bad, you know, I didn't have enough time. I had a whole plan. I went in at 1:30 ready to go to get to be out by like fucking 3:30, 4:30. Next thing you know, it's fucking 6:30, 7 o'clock, and I'm just getting in to sign the fucking paperwork to buy out my car. So, and I had to leave my car. I had to leave my car behind because it needed new tires. So now I have to go get it tomorrow. I'm driving a loan car.
In the 3 years we've recorded this podcast, it's the most that you've ever used the word "fuck."
Well, when it comes to shit like this, I'm hangry, man. I'm hungry and I'm fucking doing a podcast at the same time. It's just a bad combo. But you know what?
The podcast should be like a positive, though, like a positive.
Oh, no, it'll get positive, but, you know, I just had to get that off my chest, you know?
It's not
about getting it off my chest, but, you know what? The Boston Bruins are 5-0, guys, and they have looked, you know, they've had their ups and downs. Let's put it like that. You know, they didn't look great against Anaheim on the back-to-back, but they were able to cap it off with the first two goals of Matt Potra's career, including a go-ahead goal. That ended up beating the Anaheim Ducks 3-1 Sunday night. But, Jamie, you know, we talked about Patra. We've talked about him so much. We love Patra here. Big Patra fans. Big podheads is what we're calling it. I've seen a lot of people say we're podheads. What is your – obviously, from here on out, he basically cemented – that game itself cemented him staying in the NHL for the rest of the season.
I agree. I mean, I feel like especially the other night, that was a huge bounce back game for him. You know, I feel like he had two games ago against – who did they play two games ago?
San Jose, was it?
San Jose.
Yeah, I feel like that wasn't – of the games we've seen, that wasn't his best game. Since that, he's been setting people up. He got rewarded last night, especially with just – I mean, one of them was a rebound goal. It was good to see him going to the net. And I think that just cemented him staying. You know, it's good to see that spark from a young guy like him. And he's just, you know, carried over what he did in the preseason. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
Chris, was it just an adjustment he needed to make on the second line, you think, that let him, you know, he just had to get adjusted to Geeky and Marchand on that second line? Because Geeky has been, I guess you could say, red hot in the last two games. And he's been a big part of how Patra has been able to move the puck because he's been on the assist pretty much every time.
I think a little bit of that. I also think too, you know, for the little of the, because obviously they were late games. So with some of the games we're able to see, he just attacked the net more. He was near and around the net more too. But you know, five games into the season, he looks like, you know, for a teenage kid, he looks like an NHLer. And, you know, if he continues to play at a consistent pace, like this throughout the rest of the year, maybe, you know, puts in 20 goals this year, it really kind of changes the landscape of what the Bruins might try to do for like the trade deadline too. You know, now you're not maybe having to focus on getting a top six player because he's moved himself into that conversation. Geeky, same thing. You know, here's, you know, a guy that played out in Seattle, not much really known about him from that standpoint, comes out this way. And, you know, these guys are seizing this opportunity that the Bruins have presented that's out there. But through the first five, he looks good. And I think he's done enough through the five to warrant being here the rest of the year.
Jamie, is this start for the Bruins surprise you at all? I believe it's their best start. They've first on the gone 5-0 to start the season since like the 1936 season or something like that. Something like super impressive like that. Is this start 5-0 start surprising to you at all? They've won the last 13 regular season games.
Honestly, to me, not really. We knew the goaltending was going to be stellar, and they've been having disappointed. We've seen Marchand and Pasternak get off to red hot starts. You know, Coyle has 3 assists so far. He hasn't found the back of the net, but he's, you know, been setting people up. And what I think what's impressed me, and also for every single game they've played, they've had at least one person score 2 goals, yep, which is just crazy. But for me, what stood out the most, it feels like every night the lines are getting a little more comfortable. We saw, you know, Pietro with his 2 goals. Game before that, Forbert had his first 2 assists of the year. Geeky got his first goal. You know, even though, you know, Pasternak has 2 multi-goal games and Marchand has 4 goals, it feels like every night different guys are getting more comfortable and getting more involved. And I feel like for them, that's exactly what you want to see, especially with some of the veteran pieces they lost because the guys are tired or they traded. So for me, the start hasn't been surprising. For me, it's what surprised me is how quickly, you know, some of these guys are kind of gelling with their line mates. Yeah. It just feels like every night someone else is kind of, you know, getting that first assist, or you're seeing someone else contribute in different ways.
I mean, yeah, you look at James Van Riemsdyk. I mean, he didn't get his first 2 goals until like 125 minutes into the season last year or whatever it was. It was like,
I think he had 12 goals last year. He has 12 goals last year.
And now he's already on pace to break that. And I mean, it's amazing what happens when you put on a line that actually helps you out. And I mean, obviously the Flyers don't have very good team right now. So, I mean, you're going from a Flyers team to the Bruins team, but 100%, I mean, you're just seeing everyone gelling so well. Chris, I mean, what's your take on, are you shocked by this 5-0 start? I mean, well, obviously, we knew the goaltending was going to be good, and they have lived up to that hype once again. But the offense, outside of the power play, you know, has looked pretty good. 5v5 offense has looked really good to start.
Yeah, I am surprised. If you would have said in the preseason the Bees are going to start 5-0, I wouldn't have believed you, because, I mean, there's reason to have that, like, skepticism. Did I think they would be bad? No. You know, 3-2, 4-1 would be pushing. I'd probably say 3-2. But, you know, this team is showing that there's still a lot of good players on the roster. Brad Marchand is a good player. David Pastrnak's a good player. Pavel Zacha, Charlie Coyle, like, these are good players. They do have good defensemen. You know, I've you know, been a little more difficult about Hampus Lindholm since the trade and how he's been in the playoffs or whatever, but these are still good players, and the goaltender.
Your favorite, Grizzlick.
You know, come on. Like, we knew. Like, the second I saw, I think you tweeted it, that he was heading down the road. I get it, but it's like death taxes, and you're going to get a tweet that Grizzlick, you know, he torn his taint, and now he's out.
He took a puck to the face, man. What'd you expect?
I get it, but like, it still reinforces that the dude, there's always something with the guy, whatever. But
great, now you got him going on.
Love you mean it. But I don't know. No, I guess, yeah, 3-2 is what I honestly thought they would be. I just, like, don't want people, like, if this team goes 8-2 to start the year, you know where the minds of fans are gonna go. They're gonna go of, well, this is like last year, and they're just gonna start to get out and you know, break away. Don't get me wrong. If they can separate from the pack early with the roster that they have. So when they finally hit that lull, it's not as bad.
It's what they did last year.
I think that, you know, they are definitely a playing. They're definitely a playing. They're definitely playing above their heads right now. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's something to be excited about because Lord knows sports out in this region have not been exciting in the last, you know, calendar year. So
it was exciting. Yes. Hey,
Patriots are back. Patriots are back.
98.5, you getting the calls all day. Oh yeah. They're just, they beat the Dolphins. They're back in the play. Come on, please. Please. Let's, you know, we're back in the playoff hunt. Come on. God, I sound like Jim Murray and I hate it.
You mentioned Pau Pau Zaka. He has been a massive part to what this team has done to go 5-0 thus far. He's been centering the first line. The Bruins, obviously, losing Patrice Bergeron, have been looking for a first-line center. Not saying he's the one of the future, but right now he's playing like a first-line center, Chris. And I ask you here, do they – what?
Let me flip – before you ask the question, let me flip it to you. Why can't he be a first-line center?
He can be, but is he the first-line center of the future is my question.
Why not?
I'll take your question and flip it back right back at you.
I would say why not? You know,
that's why I'm the host. I asked the question.
I guess contingent on what the offseason would look like next year, because I don't necessarily think you have.
Yep.
I don't think you have the. I got what you're putting down. I don't think you've got the assets to go out. I think to go and get a top line center, unless you want to trade some of these young kids. And I wonder if the team's going to be hesitant to do that after seeing the play of Beecher, starting to seeing the play of how Lowry was during the preseason, and obviously now Patois. But I would say yeah, unless they go out and they sign a legitimate top of the line number one, they're dropping $8-9 million on a number one center. I think Zaka probably could be that guy. You know, Maddie can be the number two, and maybe who knows, by age 21 he's the number one line top center and it's a Patrice Bergeron story.
They signed Zaka to a 3-year deal last year. My question is, he exceeding expectations of what you expected so far as a first line center? Because we saw him as first line center and we were absolutely shocked and appalled about this. We all thought that, you know, Charlie Coyle was going to be the first line center, but Zaka, they ended up putting Zaka up there, and now Zaka is, you know, thriving with Marchand and Pasternak and DeBrusk. Jamie?
I feel like after last year, it's kind of, we all knew that. I feel like the comfort level was that Zaka could be like a second line center. You know, I'm not surprised to see him thriving the way he is, given, you know, what we saw last year and who his line mates are. And I think that's just best case scenario for the Bruins. I mean, we talked about before the season started that if this team's going to, you know, make a deep playoff run and exceed expectations, you're going to need some of these guys to kind of step up and take their game to a level that we didn't necessarily predict. And Zaka's just looked great so far, and that's going to be huge for them, you know, if they don't have to worry about, you know, that position. And I mean, even at worst, you can slot him back to the second line if you have to, if you want to go out and get, you know, a first line center, depending on where this team is at the trade deadline and what the market is.
What you're saying is it gives you more depth in the long run.
Yeah, I think it's just been great to see him, you know, build on the success he had last year.
So you signed him to a 3-year deal, and now it gives you a little bit of time to, you know, build Potter up a little bit more. You don't have to throw him on the first line immediately like you did with, you know, obviously Bergeron when he first came out. That's a whole different story, obviously. That's like comparing Mac Jones to Tom Brady. But point being, this at least gives you a little bit of leeway in that 3-year deal that you can play him on the first line, and you don't have to go out to that first line center if you don't want to. But I mean, you always have the choice to at the end of the day if you want to. But like Chris said, you're probably gonna have to trade somebody that you don't want to trade. But there is someone that is being talked about in the trade discussions right now, because that is what Boston media does, is we talk about fucking trades. And
five games in the season, we're already ready to wheel and deal.
Somebody pulled a Tyler Seguin the other day. Somebody pulled a Tyler Seguin and missed team meeting and team breakfast. We all know how that ended with Tyler Seguin. Jamie, I'll start with you. Jake DeBrusk scratched on Saturday. Did not play against the Kings because he missed the team meeting on the road, for that matter. I understand if you're back in Boston, you missed the team meeting. On the road, though, man, what the fuck?
I mean, there's a reason why people say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. First off, we're seeing it. You start your day without any energy, and if you're an athlete, you might get benched. What stood out to me the most about the whole situation was I was really impressed with how DeBrusk handled that. In his comments to reporters this morning, he kind of took it on himself. He said that it was disappointing and that it didn't sound like a player who was like resentful and was like, all right, I'm pissed that they benched me. It sounded more like a player who understood that he messed up and that, you know, that Montgomery had to do what he did. And I feel like, especially considering, you know, the fact he asked for a trade, you know, less than 2 years ago, it was good to see him kind of take ownership of the mistake. And, you know, not hide from it when he talked to reporters. So I feel like it's kind of a thing. He owned it. They can move on. He hit the post when the first 2 minutes last night. So it's kind of, don't do it again. Don't miss breakfast. Okay.
Eat your
orange juice, get your coffee, whatever. Just don't make it a repeat thing.
Let's just give Fluto Schenzauer another bullet in the chamber that he can use. He remember he did this with Sagan, you know. You saw his tweet, you know, zero goals, zero assists, and one healthy scratch. So, you know, I don't know. Chris, I'll ask you because I know how much you love Jim Montgomery. I want to ask you this. Was it the right move for Jim Montgomery to do this? I mean, you look at it last year. Do you think he does this last year, I guess? Because this seems to be a more aggressive Jim Montgomery when it comes to something like this, something you haven't seen from him in the last year and a half.
I don't know if he does it last year strictly because he had a veteran leader in Bergeron. And I know like Bergeron's time as a captain was a lot shorter than, but yeah, I think that it was something like, I don't care what the player is. I mean, I guess my thing would be is that if now, you know, Pasta shows up late, you need to do the same thing. You need to do the same thing to every player. Right. I don't necessarily think it's, you know, the reaction I think is a little way over the top, you know, people, you know, immediately, you know, the kid shows up late for breakfast and then it's, well, he asked for a trade 2 years ago. Yeah. But he also signed an extension too. So why are we forgetting that he also signed an extension? He had to agree to put his John Hancock on a contract and sign an extension. So he agreed to sign an extension. He's also been open in saying that he wants to play here longer. So we're five games in and I don't know what Bruins fans think they're going to get back for Jake DeBrusk.
Oh, Elias, Connor Garland, man. Come on now. That's what everyone's saying.
Don't say Connor Garland to me in this joking manner.
You know, I think we need to be realistic. We got to take a step down a little bit and come off, you know, another rung of the ladder a little bit, put down the, and start thinking a little more, rationally, because again, the kid was late. If it doesn't happen again, then fine. If it's a reoccurring issue, all right, what's the deal? Because that's not been his MO. He has not been someone who's been, that we know of, that's been lost playing time because of a discipline. You know what I mean? There's been times he's, you know, up in the top floor or whatever. But I guess my other side of it too is I understand why Jim Montgomery put it out there, I think, because, you know, he's sending a message to the team that he, at the end of the day, is the ultimate decision maker and regardless of who's the captain and everything else. But also, do you really need to share why he was scratched? You know, Alex Cora and Verdugo, you know what I mean? Like, we don't know why Verdugo was benched. I think by airing out your player too, it's a fine line you got to walk. So I think what it's going to come down to is, cut the shit. Don't let it happen again. If it happens again, that's a different convo. But I really think it's a non-issue. It's a bigger issue because there's not a lot going on in general. But I'm not putting much stock into it, at least right now.
Jamie,
you're not getting Connor Garland for Jake DeBrusk. You don't have the assets. Sorry, you just don't.
Jamie, I'll kind of pose a different kind of question to you when it comes to Jim Montgomery. Chris kind of mentioned it a little bit, the captain isn't there anymore. Bergeron's not there. Marchand's the captain now, but I think he had a little more. I think he had a lot of respect for Patrice Bergeron at the end of the day. Now you look at right before the, I think it was the San Jose game. They just got to the West Coast and they had a really bad morning skate. Came out post skate interview, ripped everyone a new one. In an interview, he ripped them a new one. Said they looked terrible. All that, yada, yada. That is another reason I think this is a different Jim Montgomery, because last year you wouldn't have seen that from him. Are you seeing kind of a different Jim Montgomery when it comes to, you know, voicing his opinion more when it comes to this kind of stuff and not, you know, I don't want to say leaving it to Bergeron because it didn't really leave it to Bergeron, but he kind of stayed more in the shadows a little bit more last year with Bergeron still the captain.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like a feisty Jim, you know? I kind of like a feisty Montgomery a little bit. I think he's just kind of setting the tone early, is how I want to phrase it. I just kind of think he's letting them know that, you know, we can't be making these mistakes. I feel like kind of just with practice, too, it's like we've talked about, they're 5-0, but it hasn't been like a perfect 5-0. There has been sometimes when their puck management hasn't been the best, and they just love to commit penalties every 4.5 minutes, apparently. So I think probably the San Jose was kind of Montgomery just noticing kind of those little trends going on in the game and kind of saying, you know, this is going to come back to bite us if we keep doing this the whole entire season. If we practice like this, you know, that's just kind of not acceptable, which is kind of bold to do in a city like Boston with your players. But I love a feisty Jim to start the season.
I mean, he's kind of taking over all the coaches' roles from past years to celebrate the centennial. He's taking over, well, Claude Julien with the, well, Sagan. He's taking over some, Bruce Cassidy and all that stuff with the bitching out lines here and there. I mean,
I feel like to Chris's point too, it's kind of like you also have to toe the line. You know, you have to obviously enforce it. But also make sure that when you're doing this, you don't lose the locker room, you don't get the reaction where they just start to tune you out. So I mean, I think it's good to see that that hasn't happened, but just have to be careful about towing that line, especially just 5 games into the season.
Chris, you got anything back on that?
Yeah, I do actually. One is you got to name this episode Feisty Jim.
Feisty Jim, okay.
But it's got to be Feisty Jim. I think we should do that, be our thing this season as we establish the name of the show while in the show. That's one.
I spent a long time thinking about that. You guys should know.
Feisty Jim from Feisty Jamie. Two, though, I'm gonna make a quick little statement here, and I want you to tell me if I'm over the top here. I kind of think it's wild that people are actually even comparing the Jake DeBrusk being late to breakfast to Tyler Seguin. Because Tyler Seguin, that was more than once. He had an issue with that. He had an issue with showing up. He had an issue with going out and partying and banging bitches left and right. Like that was well known, well documented through, like, not saying that DeBrusk isn't. From what I see on his Instagram, he seems happily. But, like, you know, also I think the difference is at the time Seguin was, what, 18 years old? And DeBrusk is... what, 7 years older? So I think that the situations are not the same. I don't think you can lump them together or, you know, put them in a vacuum or any other little term that you want to use. I think that they're two completely separate. Each player has had their own path in history. I think the DeBrusk piece, he will get more heat in general because he was one of the three. He was one of those three that were drafted that people are still, for till the day Bruins fans go to their grave, will be pissed about that draft, about those three players drafted. And I think that that kind of compounds and adds to it. So my last piece on it will be, is if this is a one and done, that's it. Like the trading him is to generate the clicks and content. Get it. I understand. Live that world. Probably do it ourselves. But at the end of the day, right? At the end of the day, or you could also call this Jeff's stuffed shells. But at the end of the day,
I have like six different episode names in my head right now.
I think it's not that big of a deal. It's really not. I really don't think it's that big of a deal.
You mentioned he fucked bitches. You didn't mention the one bitch that he apparently fucked, but you know, that'd be Nathan Horton's bitch, but that's besides the point.
It's like, we live in a time, Jeff, that I don't think you can call them bitches.
You just call them bitches.
I thought I called them broads. Is that acceptable?
No.
Can't call them bitches or broads? And now we're going to get canceled. So there.
Dames, these dames and gals, those young dames and gals.
These cool cats.
Title for this episode, Feisty Jim, Stuffed Shells, Unhinged.
Yeah, you should probably go and mark the time and have this, like, you know, beeped out or whatever. Or if you can't say bitches in this world, I guess what
beeped can you out, say? Dude. You know, I put the explicit sign on the podcast every time I
All right,
well, move on. So we'll wrap up here by talking for some predictions here. We got they're gonna be at the Blackhawks tomorrow or today at this matter when this video the podcast drops. They got the Ducks.
Connor Bedard.
Sorry. Yep. Chris's boyfriend is gonna be
big old Bedard right now for Connor in my band.
So you can say that, but I can't say.
I feel it would be more acceptable now, even though he's like 18, even to say that. I think people would I think people would be more okay with someone saying I have a big old Connor Bedard in my pants than, I guess, referring to, you know what? That's fine.
Episode name, Big Old Bedard.
After this episode, we're going to have to go through what gets us canceled or not. We might have to have a little refresher on that.
I'll have HR send in the group to go over the pamphlet of what to say and what not to say.
Wait, is Kevin HR now? Is that what we moved him to?
Yeah, Kevin is Toby, yes. Kevin is now Toby from The Office. He sits in his own cubicle. And
you know the worst part is I can totally see that.
He has lots of review tonight, that's for sure.
He would be okay with all this. You know full well. He would be...
He'd be laughing about it, dude.
He would. Unless, you know, the audio and his girlfriend's in the other room, that would be a different story, but, you know.
Ignore that. We got Ducks and Bruins on Thursday, Red Wings Bruins on Saturday, and then Panthers Bruins on Monday. So, boys, what do we got?
Oh, that's tough. They're going to beat Chicago. They're going to beat Anaheim. Detroit. I'm going to say
the Brinkat.
They lose to Detroit. Are we doing the three? Are we doing Florida too? Are we adding the Panthers in? Are we only doing?
Yeah, because that's
Monday. I'm going to go 3-1.
3-1?
I'm going to go 3-1. They beat Florida. Beat Anaheim, Chicago. Lose
Florida's 2-1. Been ass so far this year too. That's been the power play has not been good. Chris.
And
I think the Bruins are, I think tomorrow is, or now will be today, I guess, will be a tough game because they did look real sluggish on Sunday. They definitely needed today off. I think in general, over the next 4-game stretch, I see them at 3-1 because I've picked them to either be 500 or whatever the last two times we've done this, and they seem to do better, and I feel like I'm kind of jinxing them. But I definitely think they beat the Red Wings. I'm going to that game. I'll be there from the Garden on Saturday. But I think they'll win tomorrow night. The L will come against the Ducks, and then they win out the next two.
Degrassi's revenge game after getting pile-drived into the boards.
Yeah, I mean, I would put Zegras number maybe two behind Connor Bedard if I'm going to rank them. I'd go Bedard, Zegras. I'm a little upset still with, you know, our guy out in Toronto.
Oh, with Jersey?
I'm a little upset still, but we'll get over it. So he's
struggling. He's struggling right now.
Well, him and Domi.
Yeah. So that's where we're at.
It's okay. You got Connor Bedard now anyway. So.
I have a question. I have a question for the fellow.
Stop.
What do we all think about Vegas? Their little 5-6-0 start.
Are we shocked?
I'm not. They looked so good.
I mean, this is what happens when you give Bruce Cassidy weapons, man.
I mean, they've their last three games, they played the Duck Sharks and the Kraken, and they've outscored them 12-3 in that space.
And in no way am I saying that the Bruins didn't have weapons in 2019. But Vegas has legit weapons. I mean, the 2019 Bruins just got into an unfortunate battle with Jordan Binnington at the end of the day. That's all it was. But you got weapons in Vegas, and that's scary, man.
Sorry.
Looks like Chris is like...
I found a picture, and I'm getting... Sorry.
Chris, what do you think about Vegas?
Love to go there. But
great place. Great place. Highly recommend.
Yeah. I don't know right now. I'm still looking at this picture. I just sent over.
Would HR approve of the picture?
Or oh, my God. Like... Oh, God. Okay, well. Anyway, what were you saying?
What was your question? Sorry, what was your question?
What are we thinking of Vegas' 6-0 start?
I think they're a good team. I think they're going to be back in it in the mix. And I think I said, a couple weeks back when we were talking before the season started, I think I said Vegas and Edmonton in the Western Conference.
Yeah, how's Edmonton looking?
Well, didn't Wilson Lester just get hurt?
Yeah, I'd make David out for the next like week or 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's got to win. If he doesn't win this year, I think it's time to start having the conversation of what are we doing?
To the Bruins? Yeah, I know. I feel that too.
Yeah, I would do it. The package around
one DeBrus. For one.
Yep.
Yeah, not even a package around him in general.
They have no first round picks.
Just we can DeBrus and Brown for McDavid.
That's all you need. Last thing I'll say, are you so you guys aren't shocked at all by what Bruce Cassidy's doing right now in Vegas?
No.
Not after winning the cup, no.
No.
Especially with that roster too. I mean, that's just a stacked roster. And I feel like that he's been the perfect coach for that team. That just seemed like a seamless fit.
Look, they were a coach away. They were literally a coach away from winning it. And that's what they did. And now look at them. So looking to go back-to-back. Amazing.
You know, if it was for Binnington, he could have two, but that's
Okay. Well, story. On that note, has been another episode of Shorthand It Takes a Boston Bruins podcast.
Probably our last.
Yeah, probably our last one if we don't if we get canceled like we think we are. But you know what? We'll gauge it by day. I don't know how many people listen to this podcast, so we'll see how we'll see if you hear from us next week. You know we didn't get canceled, so. You know, that could be another episode name, guys. Are we canceled? ?
Then people are really going to want
to
click.
People would just have to tune in to find the answer to that question.
Exactly. But no.
Next episode is just Kevin for half an hour.
Talking, apologizing to everyone as to why we got canceled. That sounds like a great idea. This has been another episode of Shorthand It Takes a Boston Bruins podcast, brought to you by Beyond the Monster. I'm Jeff Oak. That's Chris Henrique, and that's Jamie Gallen. And we'll be back next week to break down some more Bruins hockey. See you guys next week.